At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
It is a very special edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX as we have our soccer showcase. It is being brought to you by a number of folks, including Together Credit Union, Michelob Ultra. We are glad to be with you. Alongside of Jen Cease, I'm Matt Pauley. Our special guest is going to be with us in just a moment. But Jen, I missed the first one of these, but here I am. You're here, and it's fun to be able to do these type of events once again.
It was a good time. Last week, we had our location with Jake Girdwood Reich at the South County location off of Lindbergh, and it was a great turnout. It's a new development, a new Hot Shots development there. So they still have work to do there. And, of course, the Wentzville one, there's always tons of fans that show up. So these are a good time.
Yeah, if you're looking for something to do this evening, especially if you're out on the western part of the St. Louis metro area, come on out to Wentzville and the Hot Shots here. This is a really big location. The wait staff here is fantastic. They're ready to take care of you. You can come on in. You can get yourself a Michelob Ultra. You can meet who we're just going to talk to here in just a moment, Jay Reed of City SC. When we get done talking with him, he's going to go sit at another table and sign autographs and take photos and everything. So great opportunity for you. Bring the kids out to meet him as well. So we always love being able to do these soccer showcase events. So without any further ado, let's welcome on to the program. He is from City SC. He is Jay Reed. Jay, thanks for coming out and doing this today.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
I'm glad we're talking to you after arguably the best performance of the year from the team this past weekend. Yes. A really good all-around, start-to-finish, top-to-bottom performance. I got to think everybody feels pretty good coming off that match.
For sure. You know, it's a very talented team, and it's very good to see us finally clicking. You know, we hope to keep it going.
You know, it's one of those things that we've talked about all season long, right? When it comes to yourself with your injury, other players who've been injured, it's hard not only for a player to find their stride, but a team to find its stride when you're constantly having people go in and out. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because you had your personal journey of recovering, but also, as you know, when players come back and it's not you recovering, it kind of puts a hitch in your step. It doesn't allow for that flow.
So for sure, you know, it's always ups and downs. And, you know, just like how you said, you have your personal journey. You have ups and downs in that. I got injured. I had to come back and I had to fight for my spot again. Same thing, you know, internally with the team. You know, we've had a different coach the first half of the year, and now we're with David Critchley. And you guys saw from the last game we played, you know, things are finally seeming like they're turning around in a positive direction. So, you know, it's just about, you know, taking time, and it's about having patience with one another, you know. Not everything is going to be perfect by tomorrow. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day. It's just about, you know, persistence, and it's about consistency every single day and building a winning culture and a winning environment.
It is a lot easier to have success and to thrive when there's kind of steady waters. There hasn't been steady waters, whether it's been injuries, the coaching change, all that sort of stuff. What does it take for you and your teammates to go find that success even when so much has happened individually and from a team perspective over the last year or so?
So you talk about steady waters. I feel like sometimes with steady waters, you can just see, you're only seeing a little bit of what happens, you know? In steady waters, yeah, teams thrive, but you don't see the part where teams go through a growth period where it's very, very rocky and it's rigid water, you know? And I feel like right now, that's the period that we're going through. We're not in our steady water phase yet, but we're in the rigid phase where, you know, maybe after a couple months, maybe next year, we're going to turn this whole thing around, you know? So it's just waves. It's waves. Right now, you know, we're not in our best form, but I can tell you we're on the right track.
Well, underscore that, I think it was Dale Schilly, St. Louis City Academy Director. He's now assisting with City 2. He'll be one of our guests on this show when you're busy signing autographs. Made the last game, talked about how Nashville went through this. This is a team that City just beat, the third in the Eastern Conference. Nashville went through the same thing. They were ninth.
Exactly.
They weren't performing well. And then they decided to bet on finishing out the rest of the season as best as they could and build for the next one. And one of the other things that he said is that you don't necessarily... Bradley Carnell said this back in year one. You don't always see what's wrong when the results are showing. It's like when you're winning, it feels good. You're not really looking. But what can losing or not, you're tying, whatever that looks like, what can those things that don't go your way, what does that give you over the results?
So it definitely, I'm not going to lie, I think it gives you more, you know. Winning is definitely better, but long-term development, I think losing definitely has its place. And I feel like losing gives you that clarity as a team. Because now we can really dissect film and we can see, okay, we need to do this better. Or we can look in our day-to-day. Is everybody showing up on time? Is everybody giving 100% effort in trainings, you know? Are we treating each other with respect? Are we encouraging toward each other? So I feel like losing just highlights a lot of the things that are not yet perfect, you know? And I feel like that's kind of what we're going through right now. And, you know, it's you know, we want to be winning, but just know that we're doing the best we can right now in the situation that we're given.
Is there a line on that, though? Because if you're just getting beat down on an every week basis and you're doing all these things right and you're not seeing something, at some point, I would have to think it's hard to keep pushing, but then you have a result like you had this past weekend, and it's okay, you see a result. Even if stuff doesn't look great moving forward, you're able, do you have to have those small wins or big wins, or just a win period as you go through this process?
Well, yes, 100%. You know, like you said, it's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy grinding week after week and, you know, not getting the result that we want. But, you know, a moment like last week against Nashville where we finally got a taste of success, that adds more fuel to the fire. Where now we're even more motivated every single day to be better so that we can feel that more and more.
I'm sorry, Josh.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
What's that feeling? And again, it's a kind of a one-day moment, but when things haven't gone so well, when you walk into that locker room and you can feel really good about what you and what the team did, what does that moment feel like when you do get to taste that?
It's just a rewarding feeling. Like, it's just fulfillment. That's probably the best way to say it. You know, fulfillment, knowing that our hard work is paying off.
Okay, I would say it differently. I would say, I told you so. I would look out that nice picture you guys all took after the game, which was so great. And you guys are usually so humble and gracious. I was thinking, if I was in there right now, I'd be like, see, I've been telling you, things were going to go our way, and we were going to get the result. But it is one of those things. I remember when David Critchley took over, and he really grasped onto it. It's not a number that we don't know about, but Critch hung on to field-tipped. Talked a lot about field tip. Is getting a small, whether it's that or another number to aim for, kind of helpful at least to aim at that rather than this big picture of how many wins we got to get?
100%. You know, like our coach David Christian spoke about it, you know, he speaks to us about field tip as well. And we noticed certain trends where the more field tilt you have over the course of the 90-minute match is the more likely you are to win the match. You know, it's not guaranteed.
Sure.
But we want to have all of our ducks in a row, you know? We want to do as much as we can. If possession means that we're going to win the game, we want to have more possession. You know, it's just about hitting those little ticks. And, you know, the more and more ticks we can cover over 90 minutes is the higher the chance that we can win a game.
I do a lot of baseball stuff, and the advanced data is a big part of baseball. I bluntly don't know how much that is involved in the game of soccer. How much do you guys look at advanced numbers and things like that as you do get ready?
Man, a lot. A lot. Like, we even know, like, there's certain parts of the field where, you know, you can it's a higher chance of scoring a goal, higher chance of getting assists. You know, I say our coaches are very, very good at what they do, you know?
Yeah, there is a lot of, like, and some of them make, honestly, just a lot of logical sense, right? Mm-hmm. So if you say field tilt, you talk about the fact that you're in the other team's defensive end more than they're in yours. That logically, that makes more sense. But sure enough, the numbers dial in. Is there a stat that, like, has ever surprised you over your years? Or, like, maybe went against what you thought?
Well, a stat that surprised me was, it's called post-XG. Post-XG.
Post-XG.
Yeah, post-XG.
Oh, that's Lord. We're going to have a bunch of people talking about post-XG now.
Yeah, it's how accurate your shot was, you know, after you hit it.
Okay.
You know, it's a chance of it going in after you hit it, you know? And XG is more like the angle of the shot.
Yeah.
So that had surprised me the most because I didn't know what that was before, but, you know, you learn new things every day.
I got to do some studying.
Well, sometimes I think about when the team was really going well at the beginning under Bradley Carnell, it wasn't about possession. The other team would possess a lot more, but then it was picking and choosing spots. So for some teams, you might say possessing the ball is a very, very important part of having success. But if that's not your style, it may go in the other direction. So there's some discernment that goes along with these numbers as well.
Yeah, so I feel like every coach has their own philosophy. You know, Bradley Carnell's philosophy was pressing, winning the ball high up the field, turning it over, and going to goal right away. And now with David Christie, it's a bit different. You know, it's a bit more possession. You know, we want to bring the fans a very good game. You know, that's the main key, and we want to win while we do that. So his focus may be a bit different from Bradley Carnell's, but, you know, the same objective is to win.
Yeah, there is that different, and you find it all the way down into youth levels, too, of where I personally, I'm still a fan of teaching a lot of good possession at young ages. That's just me. But, yeah, you have other coaches who, you know, spend this amount of time on defense, this amount of time on offense. I think you're right. It feels like Critch wants a little bit more of a balance between. I felt going in that he wasn't super big fan of low possession.
Yeah.
Sure enough, that's creeped up over time. Has there been anything else? I mean, it doesn't even have to be a tangible stat per se. I also feel like your guys' practices are a little different. Like, they're not run that differently, but the spirit's a little different.
Yeah, the spirit's different. I think the spirits are high. You know, it's a group of guys who trust the direction that the coaches are leading us into, and now we just have to buy in, and we have to just carry out the coach's philosophy. But I think the spirits are very high.
I don't even totally know how to ask this question, so, Jen, you can choose words for me after I say it if you want. But before the coaching change, with all due respect, at times, the aesthetics of the game was not entertaining that you were playing, and you just talked about providing a good, entertaining version of soccer. Since the coaching change, I think you guys have been exponentially more entertaining, win, lose, or draw. It's been noticeable. When you're out on the field, do you know when you're playing a style of soccer that is more entertaining to fans, if that makes sense?
So, yeah, you know, I feel like you can definitely tell when you possess the ball more versus when you make more turnovers and you're not really playing as a team cohesively, you know. So yes, to answer your question, yes, we can tell when, you know, we're entertaining fans or when we're, you know, the opposite.
We are at Hot Shots in Wentzville. We're having a fun conversation right now with Jay Reed from City SC, and would love for you to stop on by. When we pop off with Jay, he's going to go over to another table, sign autographs, take photos, things like that. So if you're in the area, certainly stop by, and we'd love to see you, and Jay would love to meet you. We love doing these Soccer Soak Showcase programs. So again, Hot Shots in Wentzville. We'll take a break, and we've got more coming up in just a moment right here on KMOX.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW. Countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
We are continuing. It is the City SC Soccer Showcase broadcasting live right now from Hot Shots in Winsville. We would love for you to come on out here. Sometimes, depending on where we're at, we'll hear from people say, you know what, you don't come out to my area. Well, if you're from the western part of our St. Louis metro area, here we are. We are in Winsville, and we'd love for you to join us alongside of Jen Cease. I'm Matt Pauly. Jay Reed is here as well. Do you get the opportunity to get out and about and explore St. Louis beyond the downtown region?
Yes, for sure.
Okay.
For sure. I'm a fan of the Central West End, okay. I got to say. Forest Park, I really like. I like Brentwood area as well. You know, a couple good spots to go to.
Cool.
So, yeah.
And here you are in Winsville today.
Here I am in Winsville. First time.
Way the other way, man.
First time in Winsville.
I hate to tell you, but it's on the way to our rival, Sporting Kansas City.
You know, I saw Casey.
But you stopped.
Sign.
You stopped fast enough. It's good.
I saw Casey signs about to turn around. I was like, "Where are they leading me
where
to now?"
Where are they going? So we want to go back. Of course, I want to talk about some fun things about your high school days in college. But we were talking a little bit off air, and I asked you the question of just finding out. I was surprised to find out Edward Leuven's really more his personal, what he likes to watch in playing soccer is the free-flowing game, less tactical. And your style, like if you're sitting down, you're like, I've got these 2 hours, I'm going to sit, I want to watch the best game. What are you seeing, whoever teams it are? I don't know if you want to throw out team names, but what are you seeing?
So me, I wouldn't say that I have one specific team that, you know, I have to support, but I'm a fan of good football. You know, I like teams that have very flashy, fast, skillful wingers, you know, who aren't afraid
from
to go...
From a winger.
You know,
I love it.
Who aren't afraid to go 1v1 and express themselves. Like, I've got to say, you know, Lamine Yamal right now, you know, look what he's doing. I'm a fan of that type of play, you know. He kind of resembles the old Neymar, you know. I like watching Vinicius Jr., Rodrigo, Luis Diaz, you know. So it's just, that's kind of... I realize for me, that is my style of play. Even when I play FIFA, that's...
That's
what I mean. I just, you know, spam skill moves. That's what I do.
Do you know, like, talk about 1v1, when you get those opportunities,
yeah.
How long do, like, there's different things you can do in that moment. Do you kind of have an idea going in, or is it just a feeling in that second?
So I think it's, I noticed for me, when I operate best in 1v1 situations, it's purely instinctual. You know, I just have to trust my instincts. In the moment, I can't really think too much. But yeah, I have to just do what comes to mind in that moment.
That's awesome. Let's go back in time then. I know when I first talked to you, we talked a little bit about your college play. But before that, you talked about having some interesting high school play. And I say this because right now in St. Louis and Missouri, high school boys are trying, and this is tryout week for all high schools here in St. Louis and Missouri. So if you're listening or coming home from tryouts, what was your high school story like?
So my high school route was a bit different. You know, I remember being a young freshman, and I really wanted to play soccer for my school because I'm like, yeah, you know, I'll be cool. I'll be cool if I play soccer for this school, and, you know, people know who I am. They know how I play. So, you know, I was excited to do that. And luckily for me, a guy who played on my team for New York Red Bulls also went to my high school. So
you take him on?
Plenty of times of training. But, yeah, so I remember one Red Bull practice, he went to the coach, and he asked the coach, hey, coach, is it cool if I try out for, you know, for my high school team? And the coach got really mad and was like, you know, no, you can't. So, you know, he shut him down right there, and I knew that if I was going to play academy ball with the New York Red Bulls, then I wouldn't be able to play high school soccer. So the way how my high school journey looked was I'd get to school at around 7 a.m., and I'd leave around 2 o'clock. And as soon as dismissal came, my grandfather was already outside waiting to carry me home, for me to get changed, to carry me to a certain location so that I can carpool to get to Red Bulls. Because I lived in New York, Long Island, New York. And the commute to New Jersey, it's New York Red Bulls, but they're located in Jersey. The commute was about an hour and a half to 2 hours, depending on how bad the traffic was.
One way, you're saying.
One way, yes. And the traffic was always really,
Matt's
really
passing
bad.
Out at the moment.
So you never slept.
I barely slept in that.
In honestly, a car.
slept in the car and napped every single time in the car. So after dismissal, I'm headed home right away. I can't even hang with friends from school, you know. I sacrificed. I'm getting to training about 2 hours early because I'm commuting with players from younger age groups.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, and we're all trying to beat the traffic and we never want to be late. So we're getting to trainings an hour early. So now I'm getting to their training an hour early, then I have to wait for their training 2 hours. For my training, which is 2 hours, then after my training is done, I head home. I probably get home at about 11:30, and that's when I can start my homework. And I had to repeat that for about 6 out of 7 days of the week.
Wow.
It was a real sacrifice.
Big part of that story is your grandfather.
My grandfather, yeah. Man. And even my parents, because my parents had to sometimes switch. You know, okay, my dad has to take all the kids this day, and then my mom takes all the kids this day. And,
carpooling.
You know, carpool, you know. It wasn't an easy journey, but, you know, brought us here, and sacrifice definitely paid off. So for all the kids out there, I definitely got to say, you know, if you're battling between whether you should sacrifice for what you want or take the easy route, I'd probably say sacrifice, because at the end of the day, you know, it'll pay off.
And say thank you to your parents.
And thank you to mom and dad if you're watching. Big thank you to you guys.
The other kind of unique part about your story is the fact that you went into an academy, then went and played college soccer at UConn, and then went back in after that and was all done with Red Bulls. A lot of times you think about kids going to the academy and they're there. There's no college, there's no anything. What led you to the choices that you made to go to college and step away from the academy?
So I'm actually glad I told you guys my high school story, because, you know, after all that sacrifice, it wasn't easy on me as a young teenager. You know, I remember my friends. I was like, you know, we all used to chill, you know, before Red Bulls. And as I was on Red Bulls and as I was sacrificing, I saw my friends all having fun, you know. So it was tough for me because I always wanted to hang with my friends, but I knew that I had to, you know, prioritize. I had to go to soccer, and I had to do this day in, day out. So my senior year comes, and, you know, UConn, they were interested in me. And I was like, wow, UConn is, you know, that would be a good school to go to, you know. And as UConn had interest in me, Red Bulls too also wanted me to sign a USL contract.
How old were you at this time?
I was probably about 18.
Okay.
I was 18. So that would be like a second team.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they wanted me to
so
sign
college
for a
second league.
Team.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I weighed the pros and the cons, I'm like, okay, you know what? I definitely want to be a professional, but, you know, I think at that moment right there, I probably didn't have that belief in myself to be able to, you know, it was too big of a risk for me to take at that moment, you know? So I'm like, you know what? After having sacrificed so much, I want to go to college. I want to see the college life. I want to play soccer for my school. You know what I mean? While earning
that
a good education.
That
I didn't get to do.
Right.
While earning a good education. So, you know, I went with the college route. And, you know, my parents, they were like, go to school, get your degree. Go to school, get your degree. You know how parents are, you know. They're always looking out for me. So, after weighing the pros and the cons, I chose the college route. You know, I chose the college route. And it paid off.
Caught up on my sleep.
Caught up on my fun.
You know, you said too, though, in that experience, yeah. And I think this is more so on the men's side. It might be changing as the women's game grows, but on the men's side, you guys tend to face a lot of overseas competition. You were 18 years old, and I think you were telling me you were facing up against 22, 23, 24-year-old international players. So you're facing stiff competition in college.
It's very good competition. I remember. Being the young freshman, and I'm coming in, and I'm playing 23-year-old guys from Germany, you know, 23-year-old guys from Senegal. And the thing is, some of these guys are very, very talented, but they just went under the radar. And it's harder for things to work out overseas, for sure, you know. So these are all very, very good players who are coming to the U.S. because things didn't work out overseas.
Right.
And they're all experienced. They're in their older years, and you know, and I feel like they provided a lot of, you know, a lot of knowledge, a lot of expertise for me to just, you know, watch what they do and try to emulate it.
Final thing for you, we'll be joined by Jay Reed from City SC. When you came here to St. Louis, you started with City 2 and then moved up. You went through the full development program with Red Bull. As you compare the two, what was the same? What was different? What did you like better? How did it look different between the way things were done in New York and the way things are done here?
So I think things are done very similarly between both organizations. Even the style of play is very similar because they're both pressing styles. You know, both pressing styles. So that's kind of what made me come to St. Louis as well. You know, it's a style that I just played the year before, and I knew that I'd be able to transition quickly if I was to make the move here. But I've got to say that the city staff, you know, especially, you know, the coaches who aren't even here anymore.
Bobby Murphy, man. Critch moved from 2 to 1.
Yeah. You know, a big shout out to Coach Bobby Murphy and Chris Duvall, because I remember last year, man, they really helped me out a lot. You know, film sessions every week. They always gave me the information I needed to be a better version of myself, you know, whether that be on the field or off the field, you know. In many ways, Coach Bobby was almost like a second father. You know, he kind of acted that role for me. You know, he always called me knucklehead, things like that. You know, he really looked out for me, and that's along with a lot of other guys in the building. You know, Coach John Hackworth, who's now the City 2 coach on a very good run, he helped me out a lot when he took over last year as well. You know, and this year, David Christian and Baggio are also helping me out a lot as well. So.
You know, you don't let Hack do. You don't let Hack tell your kid what to practice inside your house, because then your kid breaks stuff. And John Hackworth is responsible for several things in my house being broken by my son. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. Sound good? Is that right?
Have you sent him the invoice?
Yeah, I'm going to.
Jay, this was a lot of fun. Again, for folks listening, if you want to meet Jay, get a photo, get autograph, all that, we are at Hot Shots in Wentzville. Would love for you to stop by. Jay's going to be hanging out for a bit, meeting folks that are here. So really enjoyed the conversation. Thanks so much for coming out today.
Thank you for having me, man. Appreciate it.
That is City SC's Jay Reed. We appreciate him being with us today. We are going to take a break. Dale Shilley's going to join us coming up in just a moment. We'll get his thoughts on the way City's playing right now, coming off arguably their best performance of the season. We've got more from Hot Shots in Wentzville coming up in just a moment right here on KMOX. It is the City SC Soccer Showcase, part of a Gray Bar Sports Open Line. We'll do soccer for another 20 minutes or so. Then starting the 7 o'clock hour, we'll kind of go back to being more of a normal Sports Open line, but we will continue to broadcast live from Hot Shots in Wentzville. We just had Jay Reed from City SC on, and he is here signing autographs and taking photos. So if you're looking for something to do, come out, have yourself a Michelob Ultra, get an autograph from Jay, and you're going to have a good night. As mentioned, alongside Jen Cease, I'm Matt Pauly, and right now we are joined by Dale Schilly, who does just about everything now for the City SC.
He's looking for more jobs, just so everybody knows.
The things he does no longer fits on a single business card, so if anybody even has business cards anymore. But Dale, thanks for taking some time. How are you?
Yeah, I have business cards.
They are full.
They are full, yeah. So I'm good. I'm good, man.
Thank you. Thanks so much. So this performance this past weekend, I don't think it's I'm going out on a limb when I say it's their best performance of the year. What clicked for them where they looked really, really good?
Well, I would say it's been coming along. So let's go back to the Minnesota game, which was the game before Aston Villa, the last MLS game. We had a good 60-minute stint there, and then we kind of fell off. So the fitness levels dropped, we made some changes, and we got punished. We were able to put 75 minutes together, I thought, of good stuff against Nashville. So let's just, you know, I think the first thing is we're starting to get healthy, and the guys are getting more fit, the guys that are coming back from injury, and that helps a lot. I mean, just allows you to hang in there longer, to do more of the game plan. I mean, at some point when you run out of gas, you run out of gas. So I would say that's a big one. I just think in general, we did a really good job of stopping Nashville's transition. They are, you know, with Sam Surridge up front and Hani Mukhtar, two really good attacking players, combined for 29 goals over the course of the year, and we kept them out of the counter. They didn't get out on the break, and we did a good job of bottling up their possession and their transition and force them to knock the ball around and keep it to try to figure out how to get chances, and that's not what they're good at.
When you talked about the fitness and the changes that were made that led to everything, can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Well, I would say just in general. So, you know, there are a lot of injuries, and you know, it's been documented and written about and spoke about in social media and whatnot, just the number of injuries that the team has had. And just in general, we've given up a lot of goals after the 75th minute. We've made, and I don't know this for sure, but I would guess we're pretty close to leading the league and giving up goals after the 75th minute. So just looking at the guys, their fitness levels are getting higher. And Critch has talked about how the players are able to sustain a high level of training and a high level of intensity for a longer period of time now than what they were when he came in the end of May, 1st of June. So it looks different. The guys look like they're capable of running for longer periods of time. And look, no matter how you break down the game, you have to be able to run. And you have to be able to run, and you have to be willing to run. And we look more like that now than we did earlier in the season.
You know, and it, of course, it goes without saying that not only do the injuries, people getting better help, we've got three new players who've started to make a pretty good impact right away, from Sangvin getting a goal. I don't think his head is, his air game is his particular game, but he got one in nonetheless. Devin Pedelford, who will be our next City player profile. It was really a joy to talk to him. Fun to watch him work that left flank and really get gritty there. And then, of course, Falu Fall, he was just in the press conference today speaking about how, you know, he hopes to find his stride in the MLS. It feels a little bit like last year in terms of the new players coming in or adding some new life, for sure.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, just the different dimension that they bring. Pedelford really gets up and down the flank, and he's willing to take risks in the final third of the field to provide service. He looks more than adequate on the defending side. Falu looks very good in the air. Box defending looks very good in individual defending. He'll catch his stride on the attacking side. You have to recognize and understand that he hasn't played a game since May, and now we're asking him to jump straight away into an MLS game that's a higher level than what he was playing in Norway, and be good on the ball. So he's good on the defending side. He'll get better on the ball as he gets a rhythm. And then I think, you know, Sangbin is the one that's really interesting. What he offers in terms of the ability to run behind, the ability to speed up and down a flank and run behind people, is now a guy that the opposition has to mark his name on the whiteboard when they're talking about players to watch that have special qualities. And he's got some unique qualities that the other team now has to talk about, making sure they drop off when they see a long ball coming, center back providing cover for their outside backs, because Sangbin can get behind him in a heartbeat and score a goal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, three good additions. They're helpful.
Dale, in some ways, we're seeing kind of a repeat of what happened last year. There's a coaching change, then the transfer window, and a bunch of players come in, and the play gets better, and then the results get better, and you go into the offseason, and it feels like there was a little bit of momentum. Obviously, from the momentum from last year to this year did not continue on. Let's hypothetically say that this good run of play does continue over the next couple months, and the team goes in the offseason feeling like there's momentum. What has to happen to make sure that it's not a repeat of this year where that is able to be taken into next season?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great question, because you can look at different case studies across the league of teams that let coaches go and then went in a couple different paths with how they backfilled or, you know, selected a new coach and what they did with their program. So if you look at Nashville a year ago was in 11th place, and they fired their coach. I don't remember what his name was, Gary Smith. And then they hired B.J. Callahan in late July and gave B.J. the reins. And B.J. then made the soccer decisions along with sporting director Mike Jacobs to organize and sort the team out for the next year. And they've had success. Look, they're in, third or fourth place now in the Eastern Conference and having a much different year than they did a year ago. That's one way. Then Greg Berhalter would be the other side in the Chicago Fire. Chicago Fire, who we play this weekend, Greg Berhalter was named as a coach, but he didn't come in and take over the team until after the season was over with. And then he, you know, helped gear or guide the team through the off season and into the year, and got things, you know, move players around and that sort of thing after the season was over with. So I think the question or the answer is, and I'm not sure, you know, when it happens, but at some point making a decision as to, all right, who's going to be the head coach next year? Is it Critch? Is it somebody else? What are we going to do? And then, well, let's start having a clear path and a clear message as to where we're going next and how we're going to get there, or at least who's taking the reins on that. And, you know, I think that's the big one is, you know, how are you going to keep that continuity for that head coach whenever he gets named? I don't know that there's a right answer to it, but at some point, you know, we have to know who that is, and that person has to take over and run with it in a permanent way.
He is Dale Shilley, part of the Academy, part of City 2, part of the City Broadcast. He does a bunch of stuff. Dale, thanks. Thank you so much for taking the time with us, and we'll talk to you again real soon down the line.
Thank you.
Very good.
He does Dale Shilley. A bunch of stuff.
He
is
does a
official?
Bunch of stuff, yeah. Bunch of stuff guy,
bunch
Dale
stuff.
Shilley. Yeah, bunch of stuff. That's Dale Shilley. We'll take a break. We are again live at Hot Shots in Wentzville. You can stop on by. You can meet Jay Reed from City SC. He is signing autographs. He's taking pictures. He's available for you. Have yourself a Michelob Ultra while you're here. Get yourself some food as well. One more break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up this first hour of the program right here on KMOX.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
We are live at Hot Shots Wentzville. That's Jen Cease. I'm Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us today. We just had Jay Reed from City SC on for a while. And you know, maybe parents picking up kids from soccer.
I see logos, I know, on the youth soccer scene.
What's up? What you said Rush is out
here? This is Mizziag. Okay. I can right in front of us talking to Jay Reed right now. So if you're out in this part of town and you're a soccer parent, you know, on the club scene, this is typically Missouri Rush country. So okay, you're going to have a lot of Missouri Rush kids probably coming home from really first real serious practices of the season.
So here's the plan. You're getting in your car.
That's right.
You're trying to figure out what you're going to make at home for dinner.
Don't do it.
Don't do that.
No.
Just come to Hot Shots in Wentzville. Come meet Jay. Come get an autograph. Come get a photo. For parents, drink. Get the Michelob Ultra. You probably need it. And then have something good to eat as well.
That's right. And then have no dishes to do. Done. Sounds like a good plan.
I'm a parent. I know about
you know
that. Man, I could really use a Michelob Ultra
and
right
it's
now.
Better, it's, I'm sorry for a local. It's better than your concession stand. Just come here.
Yes. So there you go. We are here, and he's going to be here for a while signing autographs. When we wrap up the soccer part of the show here at the end of this hour, we'll do kind of normal sports open line during the 7 o'clock hour. I love doing these.
You said normal.
Like what we do. Normal in the sense of how it normally sounds.
Quiet, I got to talk soccer for an hour, Jen.
I'm never normal. I mean, look at you. Just listen to me. You realize I am anything but normal.
We're a good pair.
How it sounds in terms of a lot more Cardinal baseball.
The huge, yes. The kids would say the huge.
Okay, so that's what's going to be coming up at 7 o'clock. I haven't gotten your thought that performance this past weekend for
it was
fun. Refreshing. Like that's the word. It was so refreshing because we have just been knocked over the head with not good soccer, to be perfectly honest, and it turned a little bit.
Yeah, you got to see, I think, a nice blend of the little bit of City's first season where you press and you press hard. You got to see it. Then you got to see some smarter defense where even in City's first season, it wasn't unusual to automatically get turned over and be scored on. So I like that balance of knowing that the team's going to have confidence to go forward and knowing also they've got defense top of mind so we're not just bleeding a goal right afterwards.
And one of my big questions about this team has been, will they have the ability to have both a good offensive and good defensive effort in the same game? And bluntly, we hadn't seen that. And no. It felt like we saw that a little bit this past weekend.
Yeah, and more sustained. Just like Dale got done talking about, Jay talked about a little earlier, for more sustained period of time, you want to, of course, see. I think it's going to be a long time before we ever hear Roman Berkey truly give the team a compliment for a complete game. I think his standards are pretty high, but I think that probably came the closest to being there that he could get. He's got
refreshing.
High standards.
Yeah, but you know what's good? You want to have, and you have to have a player who plays at a high
That's
level.
Right.
Who can say those things, and it's him. But I was just I think it was Post-Dispatch story. I read it somewhere where he's already talking about how he wants to stick here. He doesn't want to go back and play in Europe. So he's bought in. He's all in on this. So when you hear that, this is not a guy who's yelling at his teammates for a year and then he's going to bounce to get
right.
to a better opportunity. He wants to be here and be part of this.
That's right. Yeah, and be part. He was one of the originals. He was, before there was a City 1 team, there was a City 2, and he was a part of that whole thing. So when you think about OGs in the program, Roman's one of them.
Yeah, you think about Jay and just the way he's been able to go from City 2. And he got developed by another program and then came in here. He made a good point about how, you know, Red Bull and City are similar. That's a lot with why Bradley Carnell was here.
That's right.
At first. But just to be able to see somebody like him take that progression, and it seems like that's happening a little bit more. The next step is for these guys to win at a higher level at the at the first team level.
Yeah, and consistently do that and consistently appear. Doesn't hurt, too, that you have a strong second team behind you, City 2, at their top of the MLS Next Pro standings. They're on, an 11-game or 12-game unbeaten streak. So it doesn't hurt when your second team behind you is another great place to be.
Jen, it's always fun to do these.
Hey,
we've
great
got
time.
We've got two more of these,
two
I believe,
more, two in
up.
September.
Yeah, so we'll be looking forward to that. In the 7 o'clock hour, we'll talk a lot of baseball. Robert Murray, MLB Insider with Fansided, will join us. I know it's been a little while since the trade deadline, but we'll hear from him on his thoughts on that and a few other things across Major League Baseball. And then Post-Dispatch, STL Today columnist Lynn Worthy is going to join us as well. That's all going to be during the 7 o'clock hour, so you don't want to miss it. Again, we're at Hot Shots in Winsville. Jay Reed is here. Come on out here. Meet him. Autographs, photos, all that good food, Michelob Ultras. It's all out here at Hot Shots in Winsville on KMOX.
Welcome to the Strike Zone, presented by Graybar. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on the voice of the Cardinals, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
It is the Graybar Sports Open Line. It is a Strike Zone hour, and we are coming your way from Hot Shots in Wentzville. Again, we have Jay Reed here from City SC. He's available for the parents out there that are picking your kids up from soccer practice or anything else that's going on. Would encourage you to make your way out here to Hot Shots in Wentzville. You can meet Jay Reed, get an autograph, get a photo, get yourself a Michelob Ultra, get yourself some food, and have yourself a good night, which is the most important part. We're going to not talk as much soccer here in this second hour. We'll get kind of back to baseball. As always, if you want to chime in with us, you can do so by calling, texting, tweeting, or leaving a message on the video stream. If you call or text, it's 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900 is how you call or text. You tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. Or as mentioned, if you are watching on the video stream on Twitter and on YouTube, you can just leave a comment in the chat and we can address those as we do go along throughout the course of the evening. Off day for the Cardinals. They get back at tomorrow as they welcome in the New York Yankees. And I am admittedly having a hard time with kind of the messaging when it comes to the Cardinals. I'm much like them because sometimes they are not so good in terms of messaging and then puts people like us in kind of a weird situation because the messaging of what the season was going to be, it didn't really turn out to be that way. But from a messaging standpoint of where this team is at, because if you were listening to this show and to Redbird Rush Hour yesterday, you know full well how unhappy such a large portion of the Cardinals fan base was based off what happened over the last 3 days. And rightfully so. If that came across as a criticism, it was anything but. When you are in the zip code of a playoff spot, you can't go lose 2 of 3 to the Rockies. And when you have a lead, when you have two multiple run leads against the Rockies in the final game of the series to secure at least a series victory, well, you can't lose that game. And that happened yesterday. And we spent a ton of time, and I don't want to go back into it today, and I don't think it's very fruitful to go back into it. We talked yesterday about what led to them losing that game. What led to them? Like, now we're a day later. What led to it isn't as important as the fact that it did happen. And you play this game, and it's a really frustrating game, and just about every team in baseball, every team in sports can do it. You know, if the ball bounces this way, if this goes in here, you can do the revisionist history thing, where you start to look back at moments and what could have been. And you know, one of the more popular things this year for the Cardinals has been what if they would have moved on from Eric Fetty earlier on in the season, and if they would have had Michael McGreevy in that spot earlier on, how many more wins might they have? Now, it's not five, it's not 10, but is it two? Is it three? Is it four? I think conservatively, there's a good chance that they've got at least three wins. I mean, there's just some games in there where, bluntly, Eric Fetty did not give you a chance. Now, you also had to let it play out for a little while, so it's hard. You can't just, like, apply that standard to from the beginning of the season on. Fetty was fine with the Cardinals last year, and the start to his season this year, it wasn't terrible. It slowly, maybe not slowly, it went downhill as the year went along. So, you know, we have to be logical about this. We have to use some common sense when it comes to all of this. But how many more wins could they have? And I think yesterday, it's a really good example of how different you can feel with one more win. And over 162 games, one win is not supposed to feel like a really big deal. But when you look at where the Cardinals are right now, they're four games out of a playoff spot. They are likely not to be a playoff team this year. I feel like I have to repeat that over and over and over whenever I mention where they're at from a playoff standpoint. But they're four games out right now. They're coming off a series loss against the Rockies, and it just doesn't feel very good. If they're three games out, so if they have one more win, if they would have won yesterday's game, they're three games out, and they're coming off a series win against the Rockies. At that point, they would have won three straight series. I think people are positive. People are talking about what can happen for this team to be a playoff club. And that's where, in any given moment as the year goes along, a single win can mean so much more. The narrative about this team would be very different right now if they simply would have won a game yesterday. And they didn't. They were unable to pull that out for sure. Jeremy sends in a message and says, who do you blame for the offensive struggles lately? Just curious. I blame the players. I don't know if you're I'm not sure what you – I would, Jeremy, if you want to respond to me back, like who do you blame? Because I know there's some people that are going to focus in on other places. And I think Brant Brown, the Cardinals hitting coach, has done a mostly good job this year. You look at some of the guys who you wanted to see improvements from, and you've seen them. You've seen Nolan Gorman be a better, more consistent hitter this year. You've seen Jordan Walker, especially here recently, be able to perform at a bit of a higher level. You've seen all these things. So for me, it's more about the players. You need to get more out of Victor Scott. You need to get more out of Lars Nootbaar. For much of the season, you need to get more from Nolan Arenado. That doesn't really affect what's going on here recently. Alec Burleson has struggled a bit here recently, but he's had a very, very good season. So I'm going to look at the players, and not just look at the players, but look at the overall ability that this team has. This team has a talent deficit when you compare them to most other teams that are competing, most other teams that are in the neighborhood of 500 or above 500. They are a 500 team with a minus 21 run differential. There is a talent deficit. And Kevin Wheeler and I talked about this earlier tonight on Redbird Rush Hour, where this team has to create a roster that can hit more home runs. That's a very few teams go out and score runs without using the home run. Does it happen sometimes? Yeah, it happens sometimes. It happened for the first few months for the Brewers. Not the first month. The first month, they weren't very good. But they eventually started playing much better baseball, and they were scoring runs. They were scoring it without the home run. Now, over the last month or so, the Brewers are one of the they've I'm not sure where they rank, but they're I think they're top two, top three in home runs over the last month or so, and that's gone along obviously what they've been doing. So if you want to score runs, you got to be able to hit more home runs. It was good to see a couple home runs yesterday from the Cardinals. Unfortunately for them, it did not turn into a victory. Jeremy asks his follow-up on that. Do you, I think that Cardinals hitters are impatient? I think some of them are. And I think that's also something that we've seen more recently than previously in the year. When the season got started, I thought we saw better at bat. You know, remember the word we used all the time at the beginning of the season? I used it a million times. We talked about the team being relentless. And when a team is relentless, we are talking about a team that is not impatient. We are talking about a team that is going to go take really good at-bats and make great swing decisions. And has that fallen off a little bit recently? Yeah, probably. Part of that has to do with the grind of 162 games. I think it's hard to be that locked in from start to finish, and I think most teams probably have that come loose a little bit around this time of the year, especially around the trade deadline and you get into the dog days and all that. So, yeah, I think that's fair. Now, I watch the Cardinals every single day. I watch a lot of other baseball when I'm sitting in my office or if the Cardinals aren't playing. Like tonight when I get home and I've got some work to do in the office, I'll throw a random game on. So if I watch a lot of baseball, but I don't watch every other team every other day where I can sit here and compare what it looks like now versus what it looked like 2 months ago, 3 months ago, so on and so forth. So, but I think what we're talking about right now is something that probably exists for most teams across Major League Baseball. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me. Again, we are broadcasting live right now at Hot Shots in Winsville, where Jay Reed from City SC, he is here signing autographs, taking photos. You can come on out, have yourself a Michelob Ultra, and meet him as we'll be here till 8 o'clock tonight. Don't go anywhere. More coming up in just a moment as we roll on with this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauley, continuing to broadcast live today from Hot Shots in Wentzville. Jay Reed from City SC continues to be here. If you want to stop on by, say hello to him, get an autograph, take a picture. You're going to be able to do just that. Have a Michelob Ultra while you're out here as well. Happy to welcome on to the program right now. He is an MLB insider with Fansided. You read him at fansided.com. Also part of the Baseball Insiders program. He is a good friend, Robert Murray. Always great to be able to talk to him. You can follow him on Twitter at @byRobertMurray. Robert, thanks for the time as always. How are you?
I'm doing great. I appreciate having me. How are you?
I am good. So we're still we're a little ways off the since the trade deadline now, a couple weeks, and that's always one of the busiest days for you. Just kind of going back to that for a moment or so, from a league-wide perspective, it felt like it was busier even this year than many other years, and a lot was going on. Did you notice any changes? Was there anything that really stood out from a kind of a league-wide, industry-wide perspective that you took note of this year at the deadline?
Yeah, it was a case of so many teams being patient at the deadline, and every team that I talked to seemed to indicate that it was going to be the last 36 to 48 hours that were going to be just pure chaos. And then all of a sudden, just the floodgates opened up, and we saw trade after trade after trade. We didn't see any necessarily blockbuster crazy trades. I mean, Rafael Devers happened, but that was 6 weeks before the deadline. But there was just the amount of moves that were made overall, especially in the bullpen market. Really just it shaped the deadline, and obviously the Cardinals were a big part of that, and they sold off quite a bit of their relievers. But yeah, just the sheer number of moves, it's not something we've seen really in years past, and this year kind of just took the league by storm.
Teams do not want to give up their high-level prospects. I know the Padres did that a little bit with the move they made. But you mentioned a lot of the bigger-name individuals that we thought might get moved did not get moved. Is that a case of where the industry is at right now, that teams just do not want to lose those potential high-level players that they can have under cost control for a while?
No, it's spot on. And we see all these teams that are – prospect hogging is a phrase that I've seen used quite a bit around the industry, so I'll use it in this case, is teams really value their prospects. They're young assets, they're controllable, they're cheap, and that's the name of the game for a lot of these teams. That's an extremely valuable asset. And we saw the Padres kind of go against the grain in terms of that, and they moved a lot of their prospects, and they filled almost, actually, they ended up filling up every one of their needs in a major league roster. Did a tremendous job there, and they've been rewarded for it. And that was a big reason why we didn't see any of these starting pitchers go, like whether it was a Mackenzie Gore, who had a very high asking price there, and naturally. Mitch Keller, teams were not very aggressive in trying to get it. Well, there was interest in Keller for sure, but nobody was willing to meet the Pirates' asking price. And just the other starting pitchers that were in the market, kind of a similar case there too.
Is this, is there, you never want to add too much like value or importance to a single thing and try to make it bigger than it actually is. But if the Padres go on a run, if the Padres were to say win the World Series this year, does that help maybe change things a little bit moving forward where teams can see that? And all of a sudden, maybe we see teams get a little bit more aggressive at the trade deadline when it comes to acquiring more of the high-end talent?
Oh, I sure hope so. That's because the Padres are, they're so aggressive. They're so fun. And A.J. Preller is just relentless on the phones. And he checks on almost anything out there to see if a player can be acquired or just the job that he does is awesome. And it makes him an easy team to root for. And I absolutely hope that if the Padres do win the World Series, that there'd be other teams that would follow suit. And typically you see it in baseball, you see it in some other leagues as well, that it's a copycat league and whoever's winning, teams try to end up emulating that formula. So I hope that there's at least a few teams that would try to follow that same formula, because if we had more teams acting like the Padres, I mean, this deadline was a blast, even with the Padres just doing what they did. But if you had a few teams trying to do that, that would just make it even more chaotic and more fun.
Just based off what you hear, I know you're super connected throughout the industry. It seemed like the Cardinals were very hesitant to give up any of the players that they had control over beyond this year. And that's why the Brendan Donovans and the Lars Nootbaars and guys like that maybe don't get moved. There had also been rumblings out there that there was interest. Were you hearing much about some of these position players, some of these left-handed bats, some of the guys who were under control from a position player standpoint with the Cardinals? Did anything get close that you knew of?
Yeah, there was definitely interest, and a guy like Brendan Donovan was getting interest. Houston Astros were among the teams that I had heard there, but the signals that were heard from St. Louis, from inside that building and just from other teams around the league, is that they seem focused on having a long-term view with what they're trying to build, and that meant keeping the long-term pieces like a Lars Nootbaar or a Brendan Donovan or Jordan Walker or Nolan Gorman, and moving some of these assets that were only signed through this season. So it's like a Ryan Helsley, Steven Matz, Phil Maton, guys like that. It was pretty clear that they were going to go, and then anybody else after that was relatively unlikely. So there was teams try for some of those guys, like, oh, absolutely, but it never really seemed likely, and I did not get the indication that any was close.
The numbers don't add up here when you have Nolan Gorman, Brendan Donovan, Nolan Arenado, J.J. Weatherholt's on the way, Thomas Ajayi's got in a bunch of times. Like, all those guys can't be on the roster next year. Maybe it's a little bit too early to ask this question, but do you get the sense that there might already be teams that are kind of starting to line up or starting to think about whether or not some of these pieces that are just going to have to be traded by the Cardinals, there's just not going to be enough roster room going into next season, that teams are already thinking, looking forward on whether or not they could be in on some of those conversations?
Yeah, I think it's a worthy conversation that should be had here. And we even saw something similar to with the Boston Red Sox earlier this year. It seemed like they were going to have at least one odd man out in their position player group. And somehow, some way, they ended up figuring it out. So maybe the Cardinals can end up having a situation there. But the name that you ended up mentioning that stands out above them all is Nolan Arenado. And getting back to this offseason, they made it clear that it was plan A, B, and C to move Arenado, and yet they did not do so. Obviously, the Astros trade or however close that got did not end up happening because of Arenado vetoing the trade, according to reports there. So, I mean, they obviously didn't move Arenado, and there was talk that maybe he could end up being moved during the season here at the trade deadline, but it's way easier to move a player like that in the off season than it is during the regular season. So if they didn't move him during the off season, it was very unlikely they were going to be moving him this year. So I would imagine those talks are going to be rekindled in the off season, and he would be the guy that kind of stands out above the rest of me.
How do you move that contract? He's a declining player. He still plays high level defense, but you know, from a bat speed standpoint, from a production standpoint, from a power standpoint, it's not there. The Cardinals are an organization that don't like paying players not to play. I look at this and I continue to ask myself, how in the world are they going to move that contract? So I guess I'll ask you that exact same question.
I wish I had a good answer for you on that one. It's a tough one. It's a really tough one. There's some ways you can get creative with this. I mean, you could pay down some of his contract, or you could end up attaching like a high level prospect in order to move him. I don't know if the Cardinals would necessarily be in a hurry to do either one of them. So they're going to have to get creative with it. And it's not going to be John Mozeliak's problem. It'll be a Chaim Bloom problem. And he's proven he can move contracts in the past. Obviously, he traded Mookie Betts, but I mean he's in a bit of a different situation than what Arenado is now. So we'll see if he's able to do it. But I'm a believer in Chaim Bloom. I think he's a good executive. So we'll see if he's able to cook up. But it's not going to be easy.
That was going to be my last question for you. We're talking with MLB insider Robert Murray. You say you're a believer in Chaim Bloom. How much confidence do you have that this is a guy who's going to get the Cardinals back to where, bluntly, Cardinals fans expect this organization to be?
Yeah, I think he is the right person for the job. He's obviously been in the organization now for a couple of years, so he knows what to expect there. Going back to his time with Tampa Bay, there is not really a more respected executive around baseball than Chaim was. And his tenure with Boston did not go well. And honestly, like when your first move was basically being instructed to move Mookie Betts, that's a tough situation to be there overall. And he had the public against him basically from day one. So a fresh start in St. Louis, and being around good people there. He's got a good manager in Ollie Marmol. There's quality people overall in the organization. It's not going to be a rebuild by any means. So he's got pieces around him, and it's just up to him to complement the roster overall. And based on what I've experienced with him, and then also just from hearing from other people around the league, I think he'll end up being the right man for the job.
Robert Murray, he's still coming down from the trade deadline. He does a great job. MLB Insider with FanSided, FanSided.com. You can also see him and hear him, part of the Baseball Insiders podcast. Robert, appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk to you again down the line.
That sounds good to me. I appreciate you having me. Have a good night.
Absolutely. That's appreciated. That is Robert Murray joining us on the program. He's one of my favorite people to be able to talk to. So connected within the industry, and interesting to... The one question he didn't have an answer for was, how do you move Nolan Arenado's contract? And I'm sure that's something that Chaim Bloom has thought about a lot, and I don't think a lot of people have an answer for that here at this point in time. We are going to take ourselves a break, and we'll talk with Lynn Worthy from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. We'll get his thoughts on what just happened with the Cardinals, losing 2 of 3 to the Rockies after getting back within 3 games of a playoff spot. That's up next. We are live at Hot Shots in Wentzville. We're going to be here for a while longer, till about 8 o'clock or so. You can stop on by. You can say hi to Jay Reed from City SC, get a photo, get an autograph, and get yourself a Michelob Ultra as well while you're out here. We've got more coming up in just a moment right here on KMOX. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly. We are broadcasting live from Hot Shots in Wentzville. As Jay Reed from City SC still here, you can get autographs, photos, you can do all that, and we'll be here till about 8 o'clock or so, and would love for you to join us. I want to do Building the Future here during a strike zone hour of a Graybar Sports Open Line. We're going to talk to Lynn Worthy in just a moment. He had an interesting column recently that I wanted to talk with him about. Building the Future, brought to you by Graybar. Graybar, headquartered in St. Louis, is a great place to work. J.J. Weatherholt this year at Triple A, So far, so good, although he's slumped a little bit here recently, still hitting home runs, a 299 average, OPS above 1,000. A lot of Cardinals fans want to see him in the big leagues before the season is over. Lynn recently wrote a column basically saying, that's not the thing to do. I don't think it's going to happen, but happy to welcome Lynn Worthy onto the program right now. Lynn, thanks for taking some time with us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so you wrote a column and you made some really good points about leaving Weatherholt to AAA and not rushing him to the big leagues and doing all that. There's a lot of Cardinals fans at the same time that are clamoring for him, giving the bringing up the fact that maybe him getting his feet wet at the big league level can be something that could help him for next year. What kind of motivated you to write that column here during a time where so many Cardinals fans disenchanted with what's going on at the big league level are really looking to J.J. Weatherholt as being a hope for the future?
Well, I think that's probably the main thing that prompted it, was just that you keep hearing this idea of like, okay, well, now they need to bring up Weatherholt, and it's just like, at least to me, it's like, it doesn't make real sense. It's like, it's one of those things where if you did it, it would be just because you're, you know, grasping at straws or you're trying to get a little bit of a bump, even though I don't even really think, I mean, like everything that I've heard as far as what people would say reasons to do it, I don't even know how much there's validity to that stuff. I mean, like, oh, you're going to get a bump in attendance. Like, no, I don't. I mean, if he's on the roster, I don't think all of a sudden you go from whatever they announced the other day was 20 to all of a sudden 35 or 40. I don't think that happens, and it definitely doesn't happen for an extended period of time. So that the idea that, like, oh, he needs to get some experience. It's like, well, at the time, he's got a little over 20 games now, I think, or maybe around 20 games at, AAA. So I'm like, no, I think he needs that experience. I don't think he needs to, be jumping levels. So to me, it just didn't seem like there's a whole lot of sense to – or a whole lot of good reasons to do it other than just because maybe you want to give some people a little bit of a distraction from what the struggles that are going on right now.
Is there something to be learned from how the team handled Jordan Walker, where they did push him very quickly? And I know the spring that he had before he made the big league club out of spring training and even the start he had to his big league career, but in many ways it feels like he would have benefited from beginning that year at AAA and spending some legitimate time at AAA.
Yeah, and that was the other part of that, too, was that, I mean, as far as reasons why you would say, well, maybe you don't want to do that, I was like, I remember saying, having that conversation with somebody, and I was like, well, you can look right in right field and say, there's a guy that you moved quickly and pushed ahead and you didn't really need to. And then you see, like 2 years later, you're still talking about, well, we got to figure out what we've got in that guy. And it's like, well, why would you do that, see the results of that, and then say, let's do that again, as though that, this time is going to be different. For what reason? it didn't really make sense to me. I think you're not hurting him by letting him go through the experience at AAA. You're not hurting him by letting him, go through some ups and downs there, as opposed to the first time he might hit some of those bumps is in the big leagues. So it just, again, to me, it was just like, the whatever positives people seem to want to point to were not outweighing the potential negatives in my mind.
Yeah, the bigger part of this for me, too, and I do think there's maybe potentially value in a guy touching the big leagues for a little bit at the end of the year before really contending for a job the next year. But you brought up in the column, and it's a great point, there's not room on the roster right now. And even if you did it after September where you get an extra spot, there's not playing time. They've had such a hard time getting everybody playing time that they've wanted this year. They're going to have to make some moves on this roster in the offseason. It'd be really tough for him to come in here and for you to give the time that you do want to give him.
Yeah, I mean, there's not playing time for him, or at least there's not an easy way to see playing time for him without it being at the expense of guys who still need to get that playing time. And then also just the idea of, like, adding him to the roster right now and then having to keep him on this offseason. It's like, well, you're just taking away a roster spot when you can use that flexibility this offseason with a new front office regime taking over and have decisions they need to make. And why not give them all the roster flexibility available instead of making this advanced decision and then having to keep him on the roster just so you can say, well, we got his feet wet. I mean, yeah,
John Mozeliak, excuse me, he was on with our friends over down the dial at 101 the other day, or maybe it was today, whenever it was. I just saw the social media stuff from it. He mentioned the fact about these guys are not at a point, specifically to Weatherholt and Matthews, they're not at a point where you're at the decision where they have to go on the 40-man roster this offseason. So if you're not forced to do that, then you create more flexibility for an incoming regime in Heim Bloom by having as many 40-man roster spots available. And especially with a new regime, I think there is value to having that flexibility.
Exactly. I mean, like, there's not a good reason to do that right now, especially when you're not going to necessarily have playing time for him, especially when he can still benefit from time at AAA, and when you have other guys that you need to, you know, get on into the games and get, you know, at bats for. And it's just like, well, you, again, the only reason that I think people would be saying is because they just want to see something new, or this idea of like, oh, well, maybe it drums up some excitement and maybe it gets more people at the ballpark. Well, one, I don't know that it really does get more people at the ballpark. I think that excitement wears off after a couple of games, and I don't think it necessarily benefits him. So to me, it was just, you know, it was pretty clear to me. But I know some people push back, and, you know, I've had some back and forth with some people, but to me, it was pretty clear.
Yeah, the benefit to him part is interesting because you think about Mason Wynn a couple years ago and him coming up and getting that time in the big leagues at the end of the year, it feels like that set him up a little bit more for the next season. I do think that's real. I don't think that's something to be ignored, but I also think there are other considerations to go along with it.
Yeah, and I think, well, with Mason, you definitely did have a clear path to consistent playing time, and you also knew where he was going to play, whereas Weatherholt at this point, you know, they just started getting him some time at third, and he's really only played a handful of games at any position other than shortstop in the minor league since he's turned pro. So to say you're going to bring him up and he's not going to play short because Mason's there, so you're going to bring him up and say, all right, well, we might throw you in at second, we might throw you in at third, two spots that you haven't had a whole lot of time at, but this is how we're going to get you some playing time. To me, again, it seems like a poor plan if you did it that way.
Couple more minutes with Lynn Worthy as we are broadcasting live from Hot Shots in Winsfield. Is a Graybar Sports Open line here on KMOX. For me, it felt like I could be a prisoner of the moment with the best of anybody, but it felt like the frustration from Cardinals fans after losing 2 of 3 to the Rockies, after getting within 3 games of a playoff spot, and they're still only 4 games out, but the frustration that I felt from fans yesterday, it felt like that was the most frustrating, kind of a breaking point. What do you make of a team that can go take a series from the Dodgers, that can go take a series from the Cubs, can get themselves right back into playoff contention, and then they find a way to lose a series to a really bad Rockies team?
That's just an inconsistent team, a young team. I mean, it's the things that you – I mean, it doesn't really surprise me. And at the same time, it wouldn't surprise me if they go out this weekend and take a series from the Yankees. I mean, it's just the inconsistency that, you know, we've seen throughout the season. And, I mean, I think to a certain extent some players have acknowledged it. I mean, I think when the Padres were in town, I remember Wilson Contreras had mentioned it was after one of the days that he'd gotten hit by a pitch and only a couple of us stayed around and waited for him to talk after the game. And he mentioned that he felt like that the team played up and down to the level of competition. And he said that then when they were, you know, playing pretty well against the Padres team that's obviously competing for a playoff spot. And then this week you heard Mason Wynn say the same thing about them not necessarily matching up against, you know, a Rockies team that's on a pace for one of the worst seasons, you know, in recent history. So, I mean, I think it's just what this team is at this point. I mean, we're in August, so it's not as though it's a surprise. It's not as though the team's identity is going to change. I mean, I think that's sort of where they are right now, just with the rush they have and just the guys still trying to find their footing. They're an inconsistent team. They can play with a lot of the better teams in baseball, but they can have a series like they had against the Rockies where you're scratching your head saying, is this the same team?
I'll finish you with this. If they're sitting here talking about playing up and playing down the level of competition, is there an entity that should be looked at that and say somebody is to be blamed for this? Is it just a case of they don't have superstar talent on the team, and when you're a 500 team, that's just kind of the way things go? But what's the source of the fact that maybe they do sometimes play up and down to opponents?
That's a great question. I think to me part of it has to be the fact that you have so many guys who are still sort of finding their way and turning into the big league players they're going to ultimately be. I mean, you have so many guys who are still early on in their careers who don't necessarily have as much playing time as established big leaguers, guys who have really good potential, but from night to night, you're not 100% sure which version of them you're going to get. When you have multiple of those guys at different, you know, in different facets of the game, whether that's the bullpen, the starting pitching, the lineup, then I think that's the thing that I would point to.
He is Lynn Worthy, does a fantastic job as a sports columnist with the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. L Worthy Sports is the Twitter handle, at L Worthy Sports. Lynn, appreciate the time. We'll see you at the ballpark very soon.
All right, thanks.
All right, that's Lynn Worthy joining us here on the program. You know, the great teams, how often do you see non-great teams jump out to a really big early lead in a game? And this, it's not just baseball. It's football. It's basketball. It's whatever. You have a great start to a game. You get out to a big lead. And then what happens? You don't score again. And sometimes it doesn't matter. You're up 8-0 after three innings and you win the game 8-0. Like, sometimes that happens. But sometimes it goes the other way and you let the team back in, and all of a sudden the next thing you know is you're down in the ninth, or you give up a two-run home run in the eighth inning to the Colorado Rockies, and a one-run lead turns into a one-run deficit. There is and I wish I knew. This is something I don't know. I wish I knew how you cultivate just the ability for teams to be ruthless, to when they've got the smelling blood in the water, when you got the pedal down, you don't go to the brake, you just push harder and you just go faster. This is not a Cardinals thing. This is a sports thing. Many teams, I would argue most teams, and it has something to do with the human element. You're up 8-0 after three innings. I'm just like picking random numbers, but you're up in that type of situation early on in a game. You let up a little bit. As a human being, you let up a little bit. You lose that edge a little bit. And we talked about this yesterday. At times it does feel like the Cardinals do lose their edge. They're not the only team that does that. But being able to have a team that has the ability to not let up very often, never let up, just keep going. You get up big. You're not going to stop. That's a really tough thing to be. The great teams do that. The really, really, really great teams do that. It is one of the greatest attributes any team can have, but it is something that is very hard to be able to develop, and I don't think it's something that the Cardinals have right now. It just isn't. We have certainly seen where they get out to leads early sometimes. Now, they're great at coming back. And to be fair on this, let's talk about from the other side. Cardinals have a lot of comeback wins this year. So when other teams do exactly what I'm just talking about, the Cardinals are very good at taking advantage of that. But when the Cardinals are the team in the lead, like many teams, they have that hard time getting the closeout blows that you need to get. One more break. We'll come back, and we're going to wrap up things from Hot Shots in Wentzville. You've still got a little bit of time to stop on by. We appreciate Jay Reed from City SC being here, spending a lot of time with fans. We'll take one more break. We'll come back, and we'll wrap up this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Now, back to the Strike Zone, presented by Graybar on the voice of the Cardinals, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
It is a Strike Zone hour of a Graybar Sports Open Line, and we do it from Hot Shots in Wentzville with our soccer showcase today. Basically, there is a lot going on, but we are starting to wrap up the program. My name is Matt Pauly. I do just want to mention thanks to the folks out here at Hot Shots for taking care of us as always, and thanks to Jay Reed. One of my favorite things about these is, you know, a lot of times, as busy as I am around the Cardinals, I don't get out to city practice very often. I'm not really ever in their locker room talking to them. It's hard to get to know some of the guys. And one of the great benefits to me in getting to know, you know, obviously City SC is such an important part of the sports landscape in St. Louis, and just getting the opportunity to get to know some of these guys. And in this, in this environment has been a blessing to me, and it was a lot of fun being able to talk to Jay Reed and what a story he has, and what he went through, and to be able to get to this point and the sacrifices he made as a really, really young guy. So I enjoy being able to talk to him and appreciate him being out here and being willing to spend some time with us. And thanks to everybody who came on out here to Hot Shots to say hello to him. What's on Deck is presented by Chesterfield Fence and Deck, the sign you have the very best, chesterfieldfence.com. Cardinals have an off day today after that loss yesterday to the Rockies, and now they're going to wrap up this three-legged homestand here. They started it with a series against the Cubs where they took 2 of 3. Then they play the Rockies where they lost 2 of 3, and now they are set to match up against the Yankees for a three-game series. And their ability to have an above 500 homestand is going to be connected to their ability to take this series from the Yankees. Yankees, obviously a very good team. They have not been playing great baseball recently, and that always scares me. That scares me when you match up against a team that you know is really good and have not been playing great baseball. You know at some point in time they're going to get things going again. So that's what worries me about this series. Yankees have they're 500 over their last 6 games, but prior to that they had lost, I believe, 7 of 8 it was. And right now, they're fighting for their playoff lives. You never thought that this version of the Yankees would be a team that's fighting for their playoff lives. But even from a divisional standpoint, they've been knocked down in the East. If you haven't been paying attention, they're the third-place team in the AL East. They are 6.5 games back of the Blue Jays, and they're also a game and a half back of Boston. So right now, the Yankees are just trying to hold on to a wild card spot and move on from there. The pitching matchup for tomorrow's game, it's going to be Andre Pallante on the mound for the Cardinals, and then Luis Gil is going to make the start for the Yankees. He has not pitched much so far in this series. Sonny Gray and Miles Michaelis are scheduled to pitch games 2 and 3 of the series, and of course we'll have all of them for you right here on your home for the Cardinals, 104.1 FM KMOX. And also tomorrow night, Friday Night Live by Lowe's after the game, so it's your opportunity to I believe Oliver Marmol is going to be the guest tomorrow. I'm not 100% sure on that, but yeah, that's going to be coming up tomorrow night, and that's always really, really fun. Again, thanks to Jay Reed for being out here. Thanks to Kyle back at the station, Jim Kuehr out here at Hot Shots with us, making sure that we get on the air. Have a wonderful night. We'll talk to you tomorrow for Cardinals baseball right here on KMOX.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.